Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
You're listening to the Superman Super Show, Episode 12, Superman and the Black Gold Swindle. Hello, and welcome to an all-new episode of the Superman Super Show. I'm a host, my name's Ed, and 1,000 miles over there to my left, is my other host, Mr. Stephen Orr.
How do?
All right. So now this is the part where we banter. We're not bantered out today. We have been right. The past couple of times because we jump this on is, and talk. And
this is true.
I will say today, for the first time in several months, I went out with my local club and played disc golf after work. So
nice. Yeah. Like I said, we got one just a couple blocks away. And every once in a while when I'm driving home from the grocery store, I'll see some young hipster dudes out there throwing that disc around, chucking the disc.
I am neither young nor hipster, so it wasn't me. I guess is what I'm getting to.
Well, I spent some time before coming online tonight with some stray kittens.
Oh, okay.
We have a stray cat that gave birth to a litter of kittens. And we've been feeding them, and they live on our porch and under our porch.
Is that where they were born, under the porch?
They were actually born in our cellar. We have one of those cellars you get to from the outside.
Right.
And the door has never really quite fit, so they can squeeze right under the door.
Okay.
And so that's where they were for the first few weeks of their lives. And then as they have been able to get out and explore, they just been on the porch, man.
Stay out.
And cool. While the mama cat has gotten used to me because, you know, of course I bring her food.
Right.
The kittens are just, they're spicy.
Still
spicy
way, kittens. Way yeah, squeamish. Yes.
You get near them and they hiss and they spit at you. And it's pretty funny. They're just so cute because they're so angry. They just, ooh, look at this tough guy.
You know? Yeah. You're like, ooh, yes, I'm intimidated. Yeah. It worked.
You're so tough. You're such a savage beast. So that's what I did.
Keep them, or are you gonna?
We're gonna keep them. We need to at some point get the mom into a cat carrier and take it into the Humane Society to get her spayed or whatever.
Yes, but, indeed. So that you don't relive this every however many months it takes.
Yeah. But yeah, they're just we've named all. There's six of them. We've named all six of them. Well,
cool beans.
Two of them don't quite have names yet, but. I like to just sit out there and just sit there and just let them get used to me.
Well, that's the best way to do it from what I understand.
The kittens are really funny because they'll forget that I'm there and then they'll just come walking by like really close then just happen to look up and then they just leap 5 feet into the air. It's like, oh my God, what is that? It's a big gorilla. You know,
it's like you just appeared and you're like, no, I've been here the whole time, man.
Bigfoot.
All right. So today, guys or gals or everyone listening, no gender assumptions on my part.
That's right.
All you listeners. Today, we're looking at Superman and the Black Gold Swindle, which appeared in Action Comics number 11. Now, it was written by Jerry Siegel, penciled by Paul Cassidy, ghosting Mr. Schuster. But it was inked by Joe Schuster. And this was published by DC Comics, cover dated April 1939, with, according to Mike's Amazing World, an on sale date of March 7, 1989. So just roughly a month ahead of the cover date.
Yeah.
And now, I don't know if we've ever really found out or thought about it. This April 1939 cover date, was that the date that they were supposed to pull the comic book? Isn't that what those dates typically are?
Yeah, I think we've talked about that. That's our assumption. Okay. And I feel like I've heard other podcasters talking about that. And yeah, the cover date is supposed to be the date I guess they pull it off the shelf.
That's interesting off, that it was only a month.
Send it back. Yeah. Hmm. That is, yeah. Pretty weird.
You know, you would think even back then that they would let it stretch a little bit longer before you had to do something with the unsold copies.
Yeah.
Alrighty, guys, here's what happened. Clark Kent investigates the story behind a man who committed suicide. He discovers the man was clutching his shares of the Black Gold oil well. He soon learns that Meek and Bronson, a pair of brokers, have bilked many people out of money relating to that oil well. Superman breaks into their office and gets a list of all the people who have stock in the oil well. He pretends to be a businessman named Homer Ramsey and buys all the stock from all the people at the price that they originally purchased it. Then he runs to the oil town and discovers that no work is being done. He sneaks into the oil well and digs for oil all night with no luck. As he's walking away, the well finally erupts with oil. Superman runs back to Cleveland. In the meantime, Meek and Bronson have discovered that the well has struck. They immediately try to buy back the stock from all the people they sold it to and discover that all the stock has been sold already to Homer Ramsey, who has no interest in selling. So they hire Louis the Rat and Nate the Snake to kill him. I mean, who else would you hire? The two confront Clark Kent and take him to a deserted road. He roughs them up and leaves them on Bronson's doorstep. As Bronson is driving to Meek's house to tell him what happened, Clark Kent jumps into Bronson's car, says he's willing to sell the shares for $1 million. They balk until they realize that they can make more than $1 million on the oil well. They quickly make the deal. Later that night, Superman kidnaps both Meek and Bronson, carries them to the oil well, then has them watch as he destroys all of the equipment. He then lights a torch and throws it on the oil, burning it all up. He tells Meek and Bronson that they'd better stop selling stocks or he'll pay them another visit.
Wah, wah.
First, the thing that really stuck out in my mind, Clark Kent, when he was going through and was buying the stock that all the other people had, spent $5,000 as a reporter.
Right.
In 1939, I'm like, dog, how long have you could not have, you don't get paid that well and you haven't been working that long. Where did you get that money? Is that like Ma and Pa Kent's life savings that they gave him when he left? You know, I was like, $5,000. And then, you know, of course, like the recap here says, $1 million in 1939.
Yeah, that's the money.
You'd have been the top one percenter there.
Yep.
Easily.
I actually didn't really care for the story all that much. I enjoyed his plan. I enjoyed some of the stuff that he did here. I can appreciate what he did, you know, by buying up all the stock and then selling it and then destroying the oil. It wasn't enough that he destroys the oil well. He has to do it in front of them. They have to witness him doing it, which I find that's pretty cocky, frankly, for Sue. He's like, the law can't touch me, so you're going to watch me do this.
It's pretty mean, really. Well, I mean, mean-spirited at the very least.
But that's Superman, though, as we're learning at this point in time. Wow. It's like, if you are trying to put one past regular folk, Superman has no compassion for you in any way.
Yep. When he finds out, oh, man.
Yep. And this was not at the level of the previous issue or what he's going to do in the issue after this. So this was almost, and I think you said it in the last episode, he's fairly tame in even though he's kidnapping people and destroying property.
Destroying property, lighting it on fire.
Yeah.
I thought it was amusing here where Meeks is driving by and he jumps into the car. as it's at his drag, he jumps into the I was like,
yeah,
oh, wow, okay, dog, you're serious now. As yeah. Clark Kent jumps into the car.
Well, and if let's see, we look at panel 24 when he takes out the Night Watchman. It's a funny panel to me because first of all, he's Superman and he's leaping on this guy's back from behind. Yeah. Sorry, I have to do this. And I mean, come on, he could have just tapped him lightly on the back of the head and knocked him out or something.
Yeah,
but he could have broken both of the guy's legs doing something like that.
And you see in the next panel that he leaves him tied up.
Yeah.
Yep. I think that's what we're supposed to think from the, it almost looks like shoelaces, but I think he's tied his feet. Yeah. And so it's like, wow, yeah, you're serious. Not only did you knock him out, but you tied him up too to make sure.
Yep. Oh, he tied his shoelaces together. There's no way he's getting free.
That old gag.
Yeah. And I love, first of all, I want to point out here, I almost want to start, and I'll have to go back and look at the other issues now, but I almost want to start a count of how many episodes in a row does he pick somebody up, tuck them under his arm, and then go leaping about with them, because he does it here in, let's see, panel 80, 84. I mean, I feel like every issue we've read recently, he at some point picks somebody up, tucks them under an arm. He's got two people in panel 84.
Right. Yeah.
And I don't know. I just find that funny that's just something he does a lot now. He just
takes them to somewhere else.
Yeah.
And that's how he does it. He doesn't like arrange for them to be there or to come to him or anything like that. He goes and gets them and drags them to wherever he wants them to be.
Yeah. It's just funny. And then, of course, the two guys hired to kill Homer. I have to remember that name. I should start writing down every one of his aliases
as well,
because he's got some. He's had a few aliases so far. But the two guys go to take him out. And of course, you know, they don't know that they've got Superman.
Yep.
But
Louis the Rat and Nate the Snake.
Nate the Snake.
Aptly named.
Homer Ramsey. That was his name. This is not the first time he uses X-ray vision, is it? Is this the second time?
No, I think this is the first time.
Okay. I thought I because we did read this. We were meant to talk about this last time we recorded. And we just, because we spent so much time on the feedback episode, which wasn't supposed to be its own episode, we just didn't get to this. So I do remember making a note somewhere. So what is that? 49, Superman's X-ray eyesight and super acute hearing permit him to see and hear all that is occurring in the shabby room.
So yeah, I made the note also that this was the first time that he was referred to as the Man of Steel.
Well, didn't that first appear in a headline a few issues back?
I don't think those words.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't feel like looking.
You've only got like 10 whole issues then, so I did 13 pages. That's only 130 pages to go back through.
Nah. Make everybody wait. Hold on. Let me study these 10 issues here.
And actually, it may be here on the very last panel where it says Superman, Man of Steel, Action Comics.
Yeah.
So I think this is the first time he's actually referred to as the Man of Steel, in that those three words will go on and continue to be a reference for Superman.
Yeah, I feel like there was an issue that now I am kind of looking for it that started out with headlines.
Yeah, one of the narration things.
Well, no, it was we were seeing newspaper headlines.
Mm.
And one of them referred to him as the Man of Steel. And I just don't remember which issue that was. I can't remember if it was the one where everybody's trying to get him because he's now public enemy number one. Which that, Man, you know, that didn't last very long, did it?
No, but if the public knew everything that he did, he would still be public enemy number one.
Yeah, I feel like I had my thing takes so long to scan through pages, unfortunately. But I feel like we talked about that.
Okay, could
a
be.
Number of episodes back. It's like nobody says it in the comic, nobody says it out loud. Yeah, there it is. It's the first page of issue number 6. There are 4 newspapers. And one of them says, Mystery Man of Steel reappears.
Okay. I'm going to stick to that he's referred to in this story.
Sticking to your guns.
For the first time. Yep.
I got to find
it. It's just a small hill I'm standing on here. Just a small one.
Defend that hill.
That's it.
But, I mean, yeah, I really don't know what else I want to say about this story because it was fun. I don't know, compared to the previous issue and what we're going to get in the next issue, it was pretty tame.
It wasn't anything kind of that we haven't seen already from him,
right?
As far as behavior, you know, he's sticking up for the little people that got took and wanting to make amends there.
Yeah.
You know, now I will say he was rather aggressive in destroying the oil derrick and then setting it on fire. That's you know, one or the other would have been just, you know, very sufficient. But no, he did both. And all I can think of are these images that we saw in the news of when we evaded Iraq and all of the oil fields on fire, just these big pillars. I'm like, so that's what you left. You left just this big pillar of flame in the countryside and just, okay.
Yeah. So it's, I mean, he's like, all right, so first of all, I'm going to make sure that it's like he destroys the oil rig and then maybe realizes after he does so that, well, but they could just build another oil rig. And
the oil's still there.
So maybe I should set it on fire. So,
yeah. Which also brings to mind another a movie. John Wayne as a he worked in the oil fields as a person whose job it was to put out fires if they ever caught fire. And there's I remember this image of him with this big shield, of course, to block the flame. And he was the dude carrying the shield. And then there's like one person an arm's length behind him. He's like, you know, no pun intended, but like blazing the trail.
Yeah.
And then Hellfighter, something like that, I think is the name of the movie, but it's a John Wayne movie.
I haven't seen it.
Well, that's okay. You don't have to. Quiet Man.
I've seen Quiet Man. Yeah, I have seen that one. I feel like we watched that in school.
That's John Wayne's best movie, but that's
I have seen that one.
My opinion, and it's correct.
It's been forever since I've seen it.
Alrighty, guys, and Doug S., if you're still out there, sir, and anyone else that is out there listening, we do want to thank you for listening to this episode of the Superman Super Show. If you want to drop us a line, you can do that at thesupermansupershow@gmail.com. If you want to help us in other ways, you can rate us on Apple Podcasts or any other of the pod catchers that allow ratings. There's getting to be more and more now. Or just generally tell somebody. If you like the show, tell them you like it. Tell them where to find it. By all means, tell them what it's about, too. Don't just have them, you know, run into this blind. But definitely just spread the word. Word of mouth. Just old school kind of, you know, get the popularity going. So, I think until next time, again, I'm Ed, and I'm saying goodbye. Goodbye. And here's Steven. I think he's going to say goodbye also.
Goodbye.
And so we'll both tell you goodbye.
Goodbye.
Superman is a copyrighted feature appearing in Action Comics magazine.
I tried to do the AOL because you did it that one time, not meaning to.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.